You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio Premiere Episode. Today we're talking DauberProspects.com, six players to target in your keeper league, and our very first guest, Gus Katsaros from McKean's Hockey. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwanbeck here. Welcome to Episode 1 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. Thanks for downloading and listening to our first episode. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. Now let's get into the show. First of all, who are we? Well, I'm your host, Paul Zwanbeck, associate editor of DauberProspects.com, and along with me each and every episode is my co-host and managing editor of Dauber Prospects, Peter Harling. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Paul.
How's it going?
Going pretty good, man. I'm really excited for this show. It's about time the internet got a fantasy hockey prospect show.
Yeah, we're on top of it. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your fantasy hockey background?
I represent the Ottawa Senators in the Dauber Prospects Fantasy Hockey League. It's a 24-team, 50 players per team league, so it goes deep. We're in the middle of our prospect draft there. Some of our listeners may be following along. It's been in our prospect ramblings and hashtagging it on Twitter, DPFHL. I'm in about five other leagues, all on fan tracks, all about 15 to 30 teams with varying degrees of prospect depth. So that's my fantasy hockey background. How about you, buddy?
All right, I'm also in that DPFHL. I'm the Buffalo Sabres. I also play an 18-team Dynasty 50-player with a farm team, no salary, with crazy stats. Points for three stars, Gordie Howe hat-tricks, hits, face-off wins and losses, hat-tricks, pretty much every stat they ever have thought of, both on Fantrax, and that's how good Fantrax is. It's got every stat you could possibly imagine. The best site for deep dynasty leagues. I also play in two Yahoo Dynasty leagues, 16-team and 10-team leagues, as well as two keeper leagues, a 12-keeper and a 6-keeper, and four redraft leagues. I've been with Dauber Prospects for about a year and a half, covering the Buffalo Sabres, as well as writing updates in Dauber's Prospect Guide, as well as his mid-season guide. So, Peter, what is DauberProspects.com?
DauberProspects.com is your definitive site for fantasy hockey scouting analysis on prospects. We have a dedicated staff of 30 scouts who cover all the prospects all over the world. It's impossible for you, as a fantasy owner, to keep tabs on the hundreds and thousands of players all over the world. So our staff provide the serious fantasy hockey owners with scouting notes and opinions you need to rule your pool. At Dauber Prospects, you will find each team's page with a top 10 prospects ranking, followed by the relevant prospects sorted by the latest update. And coming soon, you'll also find that team's prospect depth chart, and we will be updating each team's top 10 ranking and prospect depth chart every month. We also offer prospect ramblings similar to the ramblings found on Dauber Hockey. And this summer, you can find our off-season 30 and 30 features for each team for July and August. In July, we took a look at each team's 2016 NHL draft results and off-season moves. And then in August, the 30 and 30 feature looked at each team's prospect depth charts. Who are the prospects on the rise you may want to target to pick or trade for, and who are the fallers you want to avoid or look to sell on?
And if you have not held your fantasy hockey entry draft, be sure to check out the fantasy ranking of the 2016 NHL draft, where several of our Dauber prospect scouts contributed, as well as some prominent prospect scouts such as Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News, Mark Seidel from NACS, Scott Wheeler FC, Ryan Wagman, ESPN Hockey Prospectus, Steve Cornionis, Draft Analyst, and Brock Otten, OHL Prospects. What it is all these experts' consensus rankings based on a points-only fantasy keeper league. Don't be a fool and draft following the NHL draft order, because Cam Dineen is far more valuable than Logan Stanley in fantasy hockey. Not only do we have a site that has profiles being updated, there's also the must-have fantasy hockey prospect resource in the world, the Dauber Hockey Prospect Report. For $13.99, it's a great buy, as it gives you exclusive scouting reports and analysis on hundreds of NHL prospects, not to mention an in-depth analysis on undrafted prospects that are available for free on the site. But the best value for your dollar is Dauber's Ultimate Fantasy Pack. It gives you the prospect report, Dauber's Fantasy Hockey Guide, plus an interactive playoff draft list, and the midseason guide. It's unbelievable value for $29.99. Head to our show notes to find links for all the Dauber guides he currently has available. Prospect feature, we each pick our prospects of the show to give you a few players who you should acquire if you have free ads or waiver claims, or to target in a trade. With fantasy drafts happening, we will each pick three players who you want to draft because they are primed to make an impact this season. Pete, who is your first guy and why?
All right, my first guy is Philippe Myers of the Philadelphia Flyers. Myers went undrafted through the draft in 14 and 15, but was invited to the Philadelphia Flyers training camp last summer. He impressed them so much, he was signed to his entry-level contract before he was returned back junior. He had a breakout season with Noranda Huskies, jumping from 8 points the year before to 45, and he looked very impressive at the Memorial Cup. He has size, he's an excellent skater. He plays a solid two-way game with offensive instincts, and he's got a cannon of a shot from the point. He's still a little under the radar, and there will be some wait time with this player, but he has huge fantasy upside. That's my first guy, Paul. Who's yours?
Oliver Bjorkstrand. In redraft, in keeper leagues, in any league, I'm targeting him. He is going to contend for the Calder Trophy this year. He has a very good chance to play in Blue Jackets' top six with the likes of Foligno, Saad, Jenner, and Dubinsky. He needs to outplay Atkinson. If not in training camp, he will by the first few months. Oliver Bjorkstrand is my number one target prospect. Who's your number two?
All right. From here on out, I start to get a little bit deeper for the hardcore fantasy hockey enthusiasts that are in leagues like the DPFHL. So my second guy is Caleb Jones of the Edmonton Oilers. He's another D, and this time he's from the WHL, and he's the younger brother of Seth Jones, and he's also an under-the-radar prospect. He does not have the upside his big brother does, but he still offers excellent fantasy value, as he too had a breakout year as a rookie in the WHL, posting 55 points with the Portland Winterhawks. His offensive game isn't his forte, so some fantasy leagues won't work for him, but his floor is quite high, and he brings some greasy stats to offset his limited offense, like hits, blocks, and pimps. That's my number two. Paul?
All right, I went real simple on this one, and everybody's going to be like, well, obviously, Patrick Laine. I think he's the number one overall rookie in fantasy. His average draft position is going to continue to climb with his World Cup of Hockey play with Team Finland. Everyone is getting more and more excited for this kid. The momentum is just climbing. I would take him over Matthews in fantasy for sure if I had the number one pick for a keeper league.
Hard to argue with Patrick Laine, Paul. I like that pick. He would be my pick over Austin Matthews as well. So my number three is Itu Tulola of the Calgary Flames. Now, this one's a long shot and a long wait, but this kid has great size, and at the Flames development camp this summer, he showed plenty of skill. He reminds me of the Leafs' Leo Komarov because he plays physically aggressive game, and his opponents just hate his guts. He's the kind of player you love to own on your fantasy team because he will stuff your stat box with hits and shots and goals and pins. And let's face it, we're all in our fantasy hockey leagues because it's a lot of fun. Winning just makes it more fun. That's my number three, Paul. Who's yours?
I'm going to go with Francis Perron. Kind of came out of nowhere. He's not going to help you much this year, but could be a great pivot for the Senators. He replicates his game to Patrice Bergeron. He's not a fantasy stud, but a great multi-category guy. So I like that we went with multi-category guys at the end there. That our third guys are not going to be the guys that are going to help your team this year. They're going to be down-the-line guys. If you missed any of these guys we chose, they will be in our show notes at dauberprospects.com/DPR01 for episode one.
All right, those are three great picks each, Paul. I really like them. It's a little bit of something for everybody. Hits, deep leagues, regular leagues, good prospects. I think we nailed it there on our first episode. Good job, buddy. Now, before we move on to our guest, I'd like to mention that Dauber Prospect Radio is sponsored by Fantrax. I use Fantrax for all the fantasy leagues I'm in. It literally has everything you need. They track all the stats and scoring categories you want, from goals to hits to Gordie Howe hat tricks. They offer salary cap leagues, point leagues, head-to-head, you name it, they offer it. You can completely customize your league. They track draft picks for the next 3 years if you allow the trade of draft picks in your league, and they can host your draft. You can follow along nightly with their live scoring feature to see if you are gaining ground or holding ground. It is free to use Fantrax for most standard leagues, but you may need the premium league for all the benefits, and it is well worth it. You can also take advantage of their free treasurer option. Have you ever been in a league, maybe even one, and then been cheated out of your prize money or had to chase down the commissioner to pay you out your cash? Use the Fantrax treasurer. It's totally safe and secure, and it takes the worry out of cash leaks. So our first guest is Gus Katsouras of McKean's Hockey. Gus is the Director of Analytics and Scouting at McKean's. The McKean's Yearbook, which is one of the very best in the industry, just released their 22nd edition of their fantasy guide and yearbook, and it's amazing. McKean's niche has always been its scouting reports on players, and they continue to increase and expand their use of analytics to support their projections. I've been a McKean's Yearbook customer for at least a decade now, and being a contributor is kind of a big deal. But let's talk to Gus about scouting. Gus, thanks so much for being our very first guest, and welcome to the show.
Pleasure's always mine, guys. Thanks very much.
All right. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you a little bit about scouting and then a little bit about a couple of prospects, if that's good.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So one of the first things, I met you a few years ago when we talked about hockey and writing and scouting, and one of the first things you started teaching me about was the four S's of scouting. What are the four S's of scouting?
So, I mean, everything has to have some kind of a structure or guideline. So even when I started scouting, I was taught what the four S's were. And the four S's are speed, smarts, skills, and skating. Now, each of those categories has several subcategories that you can kind of mold player characteristics in, but and there's probably some overlap. Skating and speed probably have a little bit of overlap, and you know, describing hockey sense might hit two of the four S's or whatever. But anyway, what you're doing is you're looking for a structure, and to be able to break a player's characteristics down to those basic four S's and seeing just what kind of player you have based on those. That is a very simplistic explanation. It's a lot more intricate than that, and I've realized just how intricate it is over the course of so many years, just watching guys and learning to become a better talent evaluator. So, you know, that's the beginning point, but there's still a ton of learning to do after you've recognized what those four S's are.
All right. You scout a variety of different levels of hockey, CHL and AHL in particular. When you're watching a player in junior or college hockey, what do you look for that makes you think that they can succeed at the pro level?
I think regardless of the league that you're watching, the biggest thing that I would say is pace. Pace is a very broad subject, but essentially, what I'm trying to say is, what you're looking for is, can the player do the things that he's doing in this particular level at a higher pace at the next level, and will he be able to contribute using those skills, or will something have to change or be tweaked in order to accommodate the increased pace? And by increased pace, I don't necessarily mean the speed of the game and getting faster. I mean being used to the speed of the game and understanding just how much, you know, time is gone between one level to the next. It's an exponential jump to go from juniors to the A, and another exponential jump to go from the A to the N. And each distinct league has its own specific pace. And once a player gets adapted and being able to do the things that he's comfortable with doing at the lower levels, at a higher level with that pace, that's essentially what a development plan is for a player. So that's essentially what I'm trying to look for. I'm trying to look for little things that are something that is going to give me a better idea that this person can perform those specific skills at a higher level.
Okay, Gus. So does size matter? More and more we're seeing players who are big, huge guys fail to make the NHL, and the little fast skilled players are making it more and more. Does size still matter?
I think so. I think that there's something to be said about size. I don't think it matters as much as it probably has in the past, simply because of the fact that the physicality of the league has changed dramatically from a high contact to just a contact league, meaning you don't need to crunch people. An upper body is really not as essential as good legs and good leg strength, and you don't necessarily need those for hitting. You need those for motion and agility. So I would say that size does matter in some occasions, depending on the type of player that you are. I don't think it is it contains the same advantages as it has in the past. But, you know, there's something to be said about a smaller player that's darty and skilled and all of that, but can't break through at another level. And that's where it starts to get a little bit more intricate. It's not just a matter of, you know, the size, is size an issue? It's how does a player play within his size? So if a player is 5'10 and is able to, like, hit like a 6'5 guy without getting hurt himself and still able to contribute with the skills that probably brought him to that level, then size doesn't matter. But if he's timid, or he gets pushed off, or he's not able to do the things that brought him to that professional level, then size does matter. Did I answer your question, or did I just ramble for a...
No, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
Just to follow up on that, do you think that there's a distinction that needs to be made between small players and short players?
Yes, definitely. There is a difference between a Nathan Gerby and a Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson is a skilled smaller forward. Nathan Gerby is a short player. Like, he might be skilled, but I can't see Nathan Gerby being I can't see there being an impact. He's just too short. Tyler Johnson is a smallish player. So short is like Nathan Gerby, and he's like 5'4 or 5'5 or whatever he is. Tyler Johnson is the prototypical smallish forward, speedy, very skilled, and able to do things that, you know, maybe some of the other smaller guys just aren't able to do, you know. And another thing, too, online it takes a really big beating, but compete level is a big thing, too. If you have a fire in your belly, size really isn't that big an issue. And that fire is that competitive spirit, and it makes you play according to how you're able to and within the team structure and trying to support you. It's a broad brush once again, but there's something to be said about a player's engine that is really underappreciated, I think, in today's NHL. And that engine spawns off into skilled components of the player's characteristics. So there's that. The first thing that I would say is look for that fire in the belly. If that fire in the belly is there, the skills will accompany that fire in the belly, regardless of whether he's a short guy like Gerby or a smallish forward like Tyler Johnson.
What are some tells that you look for the engine and the fire in the belly?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What are some tells that you look for when you're trying to determine if a player has that?
You know, it's funny because I think for the most part, in general, I think people look for things like, you know, does he back check? Does he keep moving his feet? Does he do this? What I look for is, does he finish his checks if required? And if required is a big asterisk because you don't always have to finish your check. Do they lapse on plays? Do they give up on plays? Even if they're out of the play, you can't give up. You got to keep skating. Are they willing to compete physically, and I don't mean crunch people, but are they willing to use their body? Are they willing to get into the corners at a level that, you know, maybe they're a little not accustomed to? So you're looking for a competitive spirit. You're also looking for things that, I really don't want to get too technical here, but a competitive thing is also being able to support your teammates and making sure that you're playing within a structure of a system. So if the coach is telling you you're the high forward and your compete level is basically as an F1, then you're being misused and could be used better. So that I think your compete level can dictate where you play within your lineup. And, to kind of answer your question, it's a different tell for every different forward and every different defenseman. It's just a matter of what do they bring to the table. And a fire in the belly doesn't always have to be something very visible. It could just be the way that a person is able to control the play around them. Big guy, long reach, long frame, doesn't necessarily have to do a lot more skating, and it looks lazy, but they could be just going at 100% compete. So there's a few tells that are obvious and some that are just a little bit more subtle that you really have to dig into.
Okay. Another scouting question for you I have. I'm just gonna, this is for the listeners, and I'm gonna assume that the majority of the people who are gonna listen to a show dedicated towards fantasy hockey prospects are in some pretty deep pools that have deep prospect benches, and these are more than your average hockey fans, and they go and they watch junior games and they watch the World Juniors, and they're always looking for that next guy that they can draft that all their friends go, "Who's that?" And then 2 years later, he's winning the pool for them. What are some things that our listeners can do when they're watching junior or NCAA hockey to help identify a player that can be a contributor to their fantasy team?
Well, the first thing you can do is look at the feet. Make sure that they're always moving their feet. And by always moving their feet doesn't necessarily mean always skating, but are they in the general direction of the play? For me, a perfect tell is the hands. Right off the bat, the first thing I always notice about a player is the hands. Is it fast? Are they fast? Like, are the hands fast? Are the hands fast enough to keep up with the feet? At the same time, if they're not quick hands, so they don't stick handle well, what do they do with the puck that makes them such a skilled player? Do they, Christopher Higgins is a great example. He doesn't lug the puck. He rushes the puck through the neutral zone with one arm. I mean, that's not really a skillful thing, but then he gets into the offensive zone, and then you see his hands kind of move in and out, and you say, oh, okay, there's something there. So if you're watching a junior game, watch the hands first. Not necessarily the fact that they're dancing their way around opponents. The skill levels between the quality of competitions and junior levels are so erratic that I would completely avoid all those high skill, crazy plays and just look at the specific stuff. Hands first, make sure that their feet are working in accordance to whatever their plan, wherever they are in their play. Offensively, they're always moving in the zone. Defensively, they've maintained their own structure. Wingers don't really move very much, but those feet got to kind of keep moving along with the puck. So you're looking for those two little things. And the other thing is, kind of goes back to my first point. Can they push that pace? And if you see players that are pushing the pace, those are the type of players that you're likely going to succeed at the very next level. Catching that as a, I use the word as a, non-pro or not a very good. Not a regular talent evaluator is tough, but there are certain signs there. Watch the hands, watch the feet, make sure that they can do both things at the same time. All right?
Yeah. Now, if a player can keep up with the pace and you see that as something that projects at the next level, they'll need more than just to be able to keep up with the pace, right? They'll need to have one thing, at least one thing that they'd be exceptional at, if it's skating or stick handling or shooting. Would you say that that's a fair assessment? And do they need to make it to the NHL, do they need to excel at more than one?
Every single player that makes it to the NHL has one elite skill. Elite is a word bandied about way, way too nonchalant these days. But every single NHL player has one elite talent, at least one. I mean, if you have tons of elite skill, then obviously you're a Sidney Crosby. But so, and I'll use Ovechkin as an example just because I think it fits so well. Everything about Alex Ovechkin is about his shot. It's his shot that's elite. The way that he moves, everything he does is to get a shot. He bangs someone in the corner. Why? To come out to get the puck and make sure that he has a shooting opportunity. He gets into the zone and he creates a space. Why? Because he's a shooter. He does things for his teammates, such as the physicality in the corners, in order to generate a shot. If he can't get it, then he looks for other components, sorry, looks for other support mechanisms to be able to get that shot. So what my point here is, everything he does supports that elite skill. So good players recognize what those elite skills are, and they aren't always a simple shot or a passing ability. It could be something like simple as acceleration, you know, but they do things with their other skills that supports that one elite skill or more elite skills. And that's essentially what really makes a good player. You have to have one thing that you can exploit at the professional levels, and then everything else that supports that to be able to become a very high-level component of a team at the pro level.
So, Gus, moving back to our deep keeper leagues that everybody was talking about, players like Matthews and Laine, they're obvious deep keeper leagues. Who are some value prospects that may have some wait time or won't show up on everyone's Calder candidate list but can contribute to a fantasy roster this year?
You had to throw the this year in there, eh?
Yeah.
Well, right off the bat, I think Mikko Rantanen is one of my favorites. I think that he's going to step right into Colorado. He had a fantastic year as a teenager in the AHL, so he's probably one of those guys that people have heard of, but you know, didn't really expect very much out of him, or at least immediately very much out of him. I think that he makes an impact this year. I also feel that either Frank Vetrano and Boston gets enough of a look to be able to do something. I don't expect him to have like a breakthrough year or something, but something good is coming out of him. You know, Matthias Janmark, too, out of Dallas. See, he had a fantastic little playoff and could be one of those guys that that contributes a lot more this particular season. However, he already played in the NHL last year. So if you're really looking for like some deeper guys, deep things that may have more of an immediate impact, something like a Pavel Zacha in New Jersey or Matthew Barzal on the island, go to Winnipeg. You can have a lot of decent talent in Winnipeg. Kyle Connor immediately comes to mind. You know, there's so many other levels too. I think that there's something in Jacob Trouba. I know, again, he doesn't fit your bill as a sleeper or as a keeper, but, oh man, you know, there's another level to him that's going to come around. Maybe a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who gets a little bit of a look in Calgary this year, could possibly stay within that, you know, over and above that nine-game audition period. Oliver Bjorkstrand is probably the one guy that most people will have heard of simply because of the fantastic Calder Cup run in last year for Columbus's farm team in Lake Erie. He's going to definitely make the Columbus Blue Jackets and somebody needs to put up some offense. So he's a very good one. And on that same team is probably one of the better keepers who is most likely to make the biggest impact, I think, in terms of what he brings to his particular club, and that's Zach Werenski. You could see that during the playoffs and during the Calder Cup. He was just coming from college and being thrown into the wolves at a pro league at such an important part of time, and not just playing but driving the play, being one of the contributing factors, is such a, you know, that was such a stepping stone into the NHL that Werenski could become one of those. He could be the Shane Ghost Bear from last season this season.
All right, and the last question I have for you is, the yearbook lists Jesse Puljujärvi as the third overall in the 250 top prospects, and in the Calder candidate list, it lists him at 22nd. Why the discrepancy?
Well, I mean, I think it basically comes to the definition here. What we're looking at is, how is a prospect going to help his team long-term versus a Calder Trophy candidacy, which is a one-year, get your feet wet, and perform at such a high level that you're actually award-winning. So, I mean, right off the bat, look at the competition that he's playing with. Okay, you got Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews right off the bat. And personally, I think Laine is the Calder Trophy. Barring injury, he's such an electrifying player that the momentum alone could make him a Calder Trophy winner. There are other players that are more seasoned that come into the league. Just for instance, why can't William Nylander be more seasoned and be ready to become more of a Calder Trophy candidate than Puljujärvi, even though Puljujärvi's impact to the Oilers may be exponentially greater the Nylanders is to Toronto. So that's why there's a bit of a discrepancy. It's just a matter of how you rank and the definition of what was, sorry, and using the definitions to be able to rank either your prospects or just in a Calder Trophy season.
Gus, thank you very, very much for your time. You have made our premiere episode one to remember.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Anytime you want me back on, you let me know. All right?
All right. Tell our listeners where they can find your work, would you?
Well, on Twitter, Cats Hockey, K-A-T-S Hockey, and, of course, at McKean'sHockey.com. And I do a once-a-week analytics article for RotoWorld.com.
All right, thanks, Gus.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Take care.
Well, Peter, I think this first episode has been a success. Thanks to listeners for tuning in as well. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to produce a podcast, so please continue to listen. Check out our show notes at dobberprospects.com/DPR01. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show, as well as my handle @Zwombeck and Peter's handle @PHarling. That's it for now. See you in a few weeks.
Cheers.